This is Viewpoint with attorney and author Chuck Crismeyer. Viewpoint is a one-hour talk show confronting the issues of America's heart and home. And now with today's edition of Viewpoint, here is Chuck Crismeyer.
Will AI be banned? An article appearing in the latest issue of Time magazine called The View says that AI must be banned. AI must be banned. Well, it's supposedly artificial intelligence, but one almost wonders whether it's just almost intelligent. In fact, it's the digitizing of humanity. And is this actually dehumanizing humanity? Well, no one knows how to control AIs that are vastly more competent than any human, yet we're getting closer and closer to develop things, says Time magazine, expecting superintelligence in the next 5 years. And this is why leading AI scientists are warning that developing superintelligence, that is AI that outperforms humans across all cognitive tasks, could result in humanity's extinction. That's why they're saying the AI ban we need. We're digitizing humanity. You're becoming nothing more than a digit. Not more human, not more intelligent, but less human. We're dehumanizing humans by conforming them to a digit. Well, as if that were not enough, another article from Time magazine says, people are skipping human dating altogether in favor of AI, in favor of artificial intelligence. It's fair to say our romantic relationships are becoming dependent on our use of technology. Wow. And then the Epoch Times tells us that AI is supercharging scientific fraud. Supercharging scientific fraud. And at the same time, we're being told that AI is the secret to the massive developments of science. So which is it? Are we actually creating a Frankenstein monster, so to speak, that will one day supersede humans and make you truly nothing less than a digit to be controlled? All of that here on Viewpoint today. I'm glad that you've joined us. It's conversation, as always, with ever-increasing conviction, talk that transforms. People celebrate. They're celebrating the matter of AI. I understand why they do that. It's fascinating. It's like sci-fi. It's just way out there, and yet the way out is coming closer and closer and closer, and we're seeing how rapidly it's happening and how vast the expenditures are that are going into it. In fact, just yesterday, our president met with the Crown Prince of Saudi Arabia, and one of the things that they committed together was the investment back and forth in the development of more and deeper AI. Wow. It's everywhere. But what does it really mean? Well, nobody really knows what it really means. Tech companies are pouring billions of dollars into reaching superintelligence as fast as possible. Once we develop machines significantly more competent than the rest of us across all domains, we will most likely be at the mercy of the superintelligent machines themselves. No country, no company, and no person knows how to control them, says the latest issue of Time magazine. And if those goals were incompatible with sustaining human life, we would be annihilated. And to make matters worse, they say AI developers do not understand how current powerful AI systems actually work. Now, that's hard to believe, but apparently it is true. It is so secretive, so to speak, and so powerful that they really don't understand how it works, but they know that it works, and therefore they're going to keep pressing on no matter whether or not they're going to be in control or not. And we'll see what happens. That's the attitude. That's the spirit. Well, we'll just see what happens. Despite this danger, superintelligence remains the goal of leading AI companies like OpenAI, Anthropic, Google, DeepMind, Meta, DeepSeek, all of these, and given the skyrocketing valuation of these companies, they're not about to stop themselves, because money speaks. A coalition of scientific, religious, and political leaders are calling for a global prohibition on developing super intelligence. Not a global prohibition on AI, but a global prohibition on developing super intelligence. Now, how do you do that? The more you develop AI, the more, in fact, you're developing super intelligence. So it's kind of like a war against the war that is the war against you, but promises to be the healing of the world. Governments worldwide must step in before it's too late, says the article. In this climate, is an international ban on the development of superintelligence even possible? They say yes, because we've achieved such global prohibitions before, like climate change. Oh, has that worked? No, it hasn't worked at all. In spite of decades now of efforts to demean everybody who opposes the climate change hoax, climate always changes. It's always changed since the days of Adam and Eve, certainly changed since the days of Noah, and it will continue to change during your lifetime. Climate always changes. It doesn't always change for the better. Sometimes it changes for the worse. There are cycles of climate, just like there are cycles of lots of other things, including a woman's cycle. And I'm told now even men have monthly cycles. Don't ask me to define it, but that's what I'm told. So cycles are part of life. They even talk about the sleep cycle. So in any event, things change. They do change. But how about when we have the ability to prevent change that might be dangerous? That's an interesting question. And that's really what's before us here with regard to this matter of AI. And then, of course, you have the next issue, which gets right close to home, people skipping human dating altogether in favor of artificial intelligence experiences. So our romantic relationships are becoming dependent on our use of technology. Now, isn't that fascinating? Just heartwarming, isn't it? Just heartwarming. In fact, what we're finding is, and those who understand what's really going on out there in the world of the digital world and AI are discovering that sex is right at the very heart of much of the application of it. In fact, there's a new term, disexual or digisexual. Digisexual. In other words, you're digitally sexual. It was coined in 2017 to identify those whose primary sexual experiences are mediated by technology, meaning they prefer tech-based sex as opposed to flesh-based sex. Wow. And we think this is intelligence, artificial intelligence. Maybe it's... well, almost intelligent. A pretense of intelligence. We'll be right back.
Once upon a time, children could pray and read their Bibles in school. Divorces were practically unknown, as was child abuse. In our once great America, virginity and chastity were popular virtues, and homosexuality was an abomination.
So what happened in just one generation?
Hi, I'm Chuck Crismire, and I urge you to join me daily on Viewpoint, where we discuss the most challenging issues touching our hearts and homes. Could America's moral slide relate to the Fourth Commandment?
Listen to Viewpoint on this radio station or anytime at saveus.org.
Welcome back to Viewpoint. I'm Chuck Crismire. The Bible never speaks of digitization in that sense. It never speaks of artificial intelligence in that sense. But as I was thinking about it during the 60-second break, I realized, indeed, the Bible does talk about it, just not in those terms. For instance, the Bible says in Revelation chapter 13 that there is going to be an infamous mark that's going to be determined and declared necessary, in fact, demanded, to be carried by every man, woman, and child on the planet. Why? So that they can be identified. How? Digitally. They're going to become a human digit. They're not going to be treated like a human being. They're going to be treated like a digit. And that's why Bill Gates, in his infinite wisdom, tongue-in-cheek there, in March of 2020, ended up filing a patent with the U.S. Patent Office, the heart of which contained the number 666. A lot of people said, oh, that's the mark of the beast. Well, maybe, maybe, just maybe, what Bill Gates had in mind was actually unwittingly to him fulfilling or at least heading toward that infamous mark, which would be a digital representation of every human being's financial situation, banking, spending, and so on, and their health situation, including treatments, conditions, and so on. It would be a merging of those into a digital component, the likes of which Bill Gates filed a patent for in March of 2020. That sounds pretty real to me. Doesn't it sound real to you? Doesn't that sound very digital? Doesn't that sound like, in fact, AI and digitization is becoming the rule rather than the exception? And then I got to thinking about that number, 666. What is that? The Bible says that there's going to be a special blessing and understanding to those who can discern the meaning of the number. And then I was thinking, that number is triple the number of six, which is like getting as close as possible to 777, which would represent the ultimate expression of perfection in God. Therefore, 666 may very well mean then it is man's best effort to become like God or to become God through digitization. Now, why would that be? Well, for one thing, once you're into the digital world, it's out there, shall we say, from man's viewpoint, eternally. You can never get it back. Any other representations and communications can be retrieved, but not that. That cannot be retrieved. It's out there. And that's why when people send nude pictures and things like that, or make other comments and so on, that are brought back years later. Why? Because it's out there. Can't get it back. So it's like when God speaks, the words don't come back to him, at least not in shades of mediocrity like emptiness and harmony, as Feynman and Garfunkel said. No, his words come back to me, to him fulfilled. They continue to echo down through time. His word is truth. Our word is not truth, but we pretend that it is. And so we get it out there digitally, and then it continues to echo out in the universe, and sometimes it comes back to haunt us. Oftentimes. And so this matter of 666 tells us, should be a strong hint to us, what we're engaged in. We're engaged in man's final effort to become God. This is the goal within biological science, by the way, to develop eternal life, to become God, or to be saved, shall we say, without the necessity of Jesus Christ and the forgiveness of sin. We'll all be saved by eternal life. The Chinese have been working on that, thinking now that they can extend the lifespan to 120 very easily, That's what they're working on. So this is the spirit of it is what is involved. It's the spirit of digitization, the spirit of AI that is the biggest problem of all. And when the spirit of AI and digitization begins to invade the most intimate areas of our life, the sexual relationship, which is designed by God to replenish the earth, to provide life and population of the earth, then what is digitized sexualization? What is that? Well, it's counterfeit. Everything is being counterfeited. The digitization is actually the counterfeiting of God. I remember years ago, in fact, it was about 25 years ago now, I was sitting in, I think it was the Los Angeles airport, LAX, and my flight was late, so I was sitting in the waiting area, special waiting area for Delta. And a man sat down across from me, and we engaged in a little chat there, and he identified himself as an international engineer for the Sony Corporation. So we were talking, and it was fascinating to hear him talk, and he was all excited, talking about the what was happening in the area of science and engineering and so on. And he was talking about how, I specifically remember him saying, you know, there's coming a time when we won't need telephones anymore because it will all be implants. And then, without stopping in his conversation, he said, and the day is coming when we will be God. That's what he said. The day is coming when we will be God. Well, that's basically what Ray Kurzweil believes in his talk about the singularity. The singularity. Well, God is one, so we would be one in the singularity. Interesting. Now it's all seeming to come together to align with what the Bible has said. Man's pursuit to become God. It's the ultimate act of rebellion. And that's why ultimately God will take hold of planet Earth and will give us a good shaking through those final, you can call them plagues, you can call them judgments, bold judgments, whatever you want to call them, trumpet judgments, but it's going to shake the earth. Because God's not going to put up with it. He will not ultimately allow man to reach or even come close ultimately to godhood. But that's exactly what Satan wanted, isn't it? He said, I will be like the Most High God. So, because he was not given dominion in the earth, but God gave humankind dominion in the earth, which David attested to in Psalm 8, what is man that you are mindful of him and the son of man that you visit him? For you've given him dominion over the works of your hand. You put all things under his feet. So Satan knows that. He knows that he doesn't have dominion in the earth, but he will use humankind as his agents to gain that dominion. And that's what he's doing. And ultimately, he will invest that final repository of spiritual power and a pursuit of godhood in a counterfeit Christ figure called the Antichrist. So if you do not have a copy of my book, Antichrist, you might just want to get it because it's going to open your eyes to an awful lot of things concerning this coming imposter. How to identify the coming imposter? It's a $22 book, yours for $18 on our website, saveus.org. Saveus.org, you can call us at 1-800-SAVE-USA, 1-800-SAVE-USA, or write to us at Save America Ministries, P.O. Box 70879, Richmond, Virginia, 23255, writing a check at $6 for postage and handling. Now, maybe this is a good time for me to again remind you of the special offer that we put together as a result of the request of one of our listeners. who himself became the first person to take us up on the offer. And his books went out just earlier this week. So here's the offer, that all 11 of my books will be made available to you for the single sum of $150. Now, that's far less than the sum total of the current reduced prices on our website. So it's an unbelievable discount. But we make it available because our primary goal is not to make money. Our primary goal through Save America Ministries and this program and my writing of these books is to get a message out. We have to have some money that comes back because it costs so much money just to get the books out. It really does. Ain't cheap, my friend. But our goal is to get the messages out. And so this is one way to do it. You go to the website, saveus.org, not Save USA, but saveus.org, and you will find there your ability to order the special order there of all 11 books for $150 plus $26 postage and handling. That's $6 for the first book and $2 for each additional book. Now, I don't know how to reduce things any more than that to make them available to you. And they'll be available through that special offer through December 15th. One of the reasons through December 15th is because we want this to be a motivation for you to perhaps get these books and make them available, some of them. You might have all of them. It doesn't matter. But you can use this as a means, relatively inexpensively, to get these messages into the hands of people you care about. Friends, relatives, neighbors, business associates, pastors. Kids, there's so many ways that you can do this. And so you become a ministry extension. You see, you can actually become, shall we say, a missionary of those messages to get the message out. Isn't that really how things are supposed to work? So we make disciples to make more disciples. So avail yourself of that opportunity, and I think you'll be blessed. Again, if you don't want to go through that, you can get the book Antichrist separately for your gift of $18 to Save America Ministry. It's a large book. It's full of things that you probably never even thought of concerning Antichrist. All right, so we take back a look at the digitization of sex, digisexual. According to a 2023 Pew Research Center, 30% of U.S. adults and 53% of those 30 and under have used a dating site or app. Only 10% of partnered people polled met in this way. That means that many daters who use apps are engaging with this technology without seeing the results that they signed up for. As a result, many daters are frustrated by their relationships with the apps. In other words, the digitization of, that's the internet. Another phenomenon, more and more people would rather text, video call, or engage with their matches through social media than ever meet in person. That's another artificiality of sexuality. It's a pretense. We even use tech as a way to judge compatibility. In fact, it's a common complaint that face-to-face interactions are great, but the person's texting style or pace of communicating digitally is less than ideal. This mismatch was enough for the relationship to end just because of the way somebody texted. Wow. Talking about testing the waters by texting, we'll be right back.
There is so much more about Chuck Chrismeyer and Save America Ministries on our website, saveus.org. For example, under the marriage section, God has marriage on his mind. Chuck has some great resources to strengthen your marriage. First off, a fact sheet on the state of the marital union, a fact sheet on the state of ministry, marriage, and morals. SaveUS.org. Marriage, divorce, and remarriage. What does the Bible really teach about this? Find all of this at SaveUS.org. Also, a letter to pastors, the Hosea Project, saveus.org, and many more resources to strengthen your marriage. It's all on Chuck's website, saveus.org. Again, you can listen to Chuck's Viewpoint broadcast live and archived. Save America Ministries website at saveus.org.
Welcome back to Viewpoint. I'm Chuck Christmeyer. And as we move forward here, we're talking about the world of digitization and artificial intelligence, which the more we get into it, makes us wonder if it isn't almost intelligent, that it's not really as intelligent as we want to think it to be. Because information by itself is not enough. God never commanded us to be informed, but rather to be transformed. You can't be transformed digitally. It takes spiritually to be transformed, and that's not a digital operation. So when people think, have convinced themselves that they can evangelize digitally, I think they're putting way too much import on the ability of AI or digitization or the internet or whatever to accomplish the job, because it lacks the person connection. It interfaces digitally, and that's artificial. It's not real. And so it's a pretense of the real, but it's not real. It's a pretense of being like God, but it's not God. God expects us by his Spirit to understand and communicate truth. The same is true also with regard to our sexual relationships. It's a spiritual matter from God's perspective. It's both physical and spiritual. Now, a quarter of young adults believe AI has the potential to replace human romantic relationships, according to the Institute for Family Studies. 25% of young adults believe AI, artificial intelligence, has the potential to replace human romantic relationships. Now, that tells me they don't have much of an understanding of human romantic relationships and what they're all about. Because it's not just about sex. Here's what's really interesting. Of the people most in favor of AI relationships, heavy porn users are at the top. Now that I can understand, because porn users separate sexuality from spirituality. It's all about their feelings, all about emotions, but not about the spiritual connection. In a post on X, CEO Sam Altman said, as part of our treat adult users like adults principle, we will even now allow more like erotica for verified adults. In other words, they're going to cater to the porn group. Most AI chatbots are made to be agreeable and cater to your every need, including your porn desires. Arriving at our digisexual reality has been a slippery slope, from the app to the bot that we never, ever saw coming. And now that awareness of these trends is on the rise. So here's the question. Will we consciously allow technology to shape our relationships? And will the next wave of tech make us even more dependent on digitization and high tech for love? Wow. That's like dehumanizing people. So you just become a sexual bot. Really? I don't know if people really can put their minds around what's really happening. It's pretty unbelievable. Now, the Epoch Times, in its latest issue, has a lengthy piece called How AI is Supercharging Scientific Fraud. And this is worthy of our consideration, in addition to the other things that we've been talking about. Academics and cybersecurity professionals are warning that a wave of fake scientific research created with artificial intelligence is quietly slipping past plagiarism checks and into the scholarly record. This phenomenon is putting the future credibility of scientific research at risk by amplifying the long-running industry of paper mill fraud, say experts. Academic paper mills, that is, fake organizations that profit from falsified studies and authorship, have plagued scholars for years. But now AI is acting as a force multiplier. Now, all this is, friends, is an extension of what kids in high school and college are doing. They're using AI to write their papers, pretending that they're their papers when they're not. AI is writing them. So then the teacher or instructor or professor, whatever, has to determine now, is this person actually writing this paper for which they should be entitled to some grade? Or have they stolen all of this by using AI as an artificial representation of who they are as a student? And it's become a plague. But this is now sweeping the scientific community. The scope of the problem is staggering. More than 10,000 research papers were retracted globally just in 2023. 10,000, more than 10,000 of the papers were retracted. In other words, they were sent out, presented as if they were the real thing, but then somehow they were either caught or the person got convicted because they were phony or they didn't want to get caught, and they retracted the paper because it was artificial. It was not real. It was not true. It was a manufactured, put together, glommed together representation of science that wasn't really, truly science at all. It was purporting to have some new development, something that should really be considered by the scientific community in a journal or whatever, but it wasn't what it purported to be. So, in the same line as sexuality is now being digitized, it's becoming not what it's purported to be too. See, AI, artificial intelligence, is actually more like almost intelligent. Because if it were really intelligent, it wouldn't be replacing humanity. It wouldn't be trying to become like God, because God knows that he's not going to let that happen. He created us in his image. He didn't create us to take over his image. He created us in his image to worship him in spirit and in truth. In May, a computer science academic and professor published an independent study of AI-generated content found in the Global International Journal of Innovative Research, after discovering that his name had been used in a false attribution. He noted that just 5 of the 53 articles that he examined showed signs of human involvement.
AI created the content in the remaining 48 documents. Wow. There's been a lot of phonying up by human intention in the area of climate change that had to be uncovered. A lot of phonying up. But then if you use AI to go back and collectivize all of the things that were phonied up intentionally by human being, you can create actually a document that appears to support the whole phonied up thing as the latest and most dependable scientific opinion concerning a particular issue. I don't know about you, but that's pretty frightening. When the entirety of research is generated by AI, there's a risk of homogenizing knowledge. In other words, you're not actually presenting knowledge, you're actually mixing it and pretending that it's new. Which means that all research that follows similar paths and methods is corrupted by similar assumptions and biases. Now, if you think that this is just in the area of science or just in the area of kids writing papers, how about pastors? Do you know that one of the big issues in the world of pastoring is pastors that try to create AI sermons? Yeah. Now, going back just a few years, the pastor of one of the larger churches in the country, very respected, was removed from his pastorship when the leaders discovered that he was getting his sermons from the internet. So what's the difference between getting your sermons directly from the internet and having AI generate your sermon? I'm not sure that there's any significant difference. You're purporting to be a minister of God, listening to the voice of the Holy Spirit to prepare a message that God would have in the people before you that you've become responsible for to hear a message that the Lord has specifically for them. But when a pastor goes to AI to construct a message or goes to the internet to glom onto somebody else's message, is that not just plagiarism? Now, I don't have a problem quoting somebody when you give attribution, for instance, on this program. That's what I'm doing. I'm sharing with you things that are coming from a variety of different articles, telling you where they're coming from, and I'm not claiming that this is mine. What I am doing is commenting upon and putting in perspective what they say. That's where the real message is. And that's what made this program different oftentimes. We'll be back.
Have you ever considered what the early church was like? Many people are developing a heart longing for a greater fulfillment in our practices as Christians. A recent study showed 53,000 people a week are leaving the back door of America's churches in frustration. What is going on? Why has there not been even a 1% gain among followers of Christ in the last 25 years? Could it be that God is seeking to restore first century Christianity for the 21st century? Jesus said, "I'll build my church." Is Christ by his Spirit stirring to prepare the church for the 21st century? The early church prayed together and broke bread from house to house. They were family, and it was said by all who observed, "Behold how they love one another." Incredible.
But the same can be found right now. Go to saveus.org and click Sell Church. We can revive first century Christianity for the 21st century.
It's about people, not programs. It's about a body, not a building.
That's saveus.org. Click Sell Church.
Real researchers drowning in noise, peer reviewers overwhelmed, and citations being polluted with fabricated references. It's making true scientific progress harder to identify and validate. Indeed, it is. Let me just share something with you. When you listen to Viewpoint, And we've been on the air now over 30 years. Every day, Monday through Friday. When you listen to Viewpoint, 98% of the programs that you hear are fresh, designed, dedicated to speak to the listeners this day and this week. In other words, they're right up front and personal. Very, very hyper relevant. There's nothing that's regurgitated. We share things that are coming before us that are important for God's people to understand and to apply in the context of the Word of God so that we can live righteous, discerning lives in the midst of a wicked and perverse generation, preparing our minds and hearts for the coming of the Lord so we don't get seduced into false enterprises, all kinds of things going on in the spirit of the world. 98% of everything you do. When I say 98%, the other 2% are those programs which, when I happen to be out of town, have to be re-aired. But for the most part, almost every single program you hear is fresh for the day. And you can tell that by listening. It's highly relevant. We don't have to conjure up some artificial relevance to try to market it to people. No, in fact, it's so relevant that a lot of people don't even want to hear it because they don't want to know reality. They don't want to have to change. Like someone said, when we first started this program, you just can't listen to the Viewpoint long and not be changed. That's what it's about. It's about conforming to the word, will, and ways of the Lord. That's what the program is about. It's not just information. We provide vast amounts of information here. But it's the purpose is for transformation. So when we talk about AI, for instance, we talk about digitization. Have you noticed, if you've been listening to the whole program, you notice that we've connected it in many, many different ways to what the Bible actually says so that we can understand that this isn't just something out of the blue. This is something that God knew was going to take place, and he warned us about the effects of it. When the Antichrist and the false prophet conjure up a system so that every man, woman, and child have to receive a mark, what do you think that is? What do you think that's going to be? It's going to be a digitization representation, whether it's via chip, whatever that form actually is, that's what it's going to be. So that you will be controlled by individuals, people, in a one-world government that mimics or attempts to mimic God ruling the world. And the person that ultimately Satan reposes that power in is called the Antichrist or a counterfeit Christ. That's how it's going to happen. And we're seeing it all laid out right in front of us. So it shouldn't take you unawares, especially if you've been listening to this program. If you haven't been listening to this program, it might take you unawares. You might get all gaga-eyed over artificial intelligence and so on and buy into the artificiality of it and the power of it, not realizing that that power can be used against you to compel you to do that which God would not have you to do, like receive the mark of the beast for which there's no repentance. And if you question that, read Revelation 14, the first 12 verses. That will confirm that. Now, also, this falsity in the scientific reports and AI-generated junk science could have huge financial effect on organizations that are counting on grants to advance legitimate scientific studies and technology and healthcare and more. So it actually undermines the truth of health care, of technology, of scientific studies, and makes them illegitimate. And the cost could be vast. The stream of fake AI-generated research papers is coming at a time when public trust in science remains lower than it was before the COVID-19 pandemic. And since then, it's become much lower. So trust is at stake as well. The tide of AI-fabricated research is the result of academic pressure to publish new papers constantly. When the number of papers and citations dictates one's academic career, AI-fabricated research serves as a fast way of getting ahead. Now, let me explain this to you, if you don't understand it. My grandson, my oldest grandson, is a doctor. He is an amazing person. Even when he was in his first year of med school, they chose him to be the official representation of the large university med school to the government of Virginia, where they deputized him to speak in his first year of med school to the legislators. 2 years later, still in med school, he was asked to speak before the National Association of Cardiologists in Texas. I believe it was in Texas. Now, what is this young whippersnapper, not even a doctor yet, being asked to speak before the international cardiologists that are gathered? Because he had done credible, real research that merited presentation. Now, what if he had relied upon AI to fabricate together such a presentation? If the doctors didn't discover it initially, when it was discovered, it would completely defame my grandson and might affect his career horribly for the future because they were defrauded. But because he didn't do that, he did it the legitimate way and put in the hard work that was necessary. Not only did he not defraud those cardiologists and preserve the respect that was attributed to him even as a student, but it resulted in the advancement of his career in amazing ways. Reality, friends, is important. A pastor who cannot hear enough from God to form his own sermons or teaching, whatever you want to call it, and is going to have to mimic somebody else and always borrow from somebody else is not worth listening to. And the reality is that most of the messages, believe it or not, most of the messages that Christians listen to on Christian radio are not current. Some of them are 10, 15, 20 years old. It doesn't make them irrelevant in and of themselves, but they're regurgitated messages. How does that happen? Well, the pastor preaches a message. It's recorded. Somebody behind the scenes is paid to edit that message for radio. It's presented on radio, and then they create a bank of those messages that get reiterated year after year or every 3 or 4 years or whatever. That's how it works. But that's not what you get with Viewpoint. It takes real dedication to do a program like this. And I have no assistants out there to help. None. I don't need them. You know why? Because the inspiration does not come from their busy work. It comes from the Holy Spirit speaking to my heart that this is what the people need to hear today. This will encourage them. It will be so relevant. This will help protect them. It will help guide them. It will help encourage them. It will help bring correction in their life. This is what they need to hear today. Now, I don't say that as a matter of pride. There's no pride in it because I didn't make it up. It's not my message. I'm just merely a mouthpiece. That's all it is. And that's what this program is about. Now, if you value the program, you'll tell other people about it. You'll text them. That would be an appropriate use of the digital world. You'll call them. You'll talk to them. You'll write to them, that kind of thing. In other words, you will be an agent of the Lord to continue to spread the message out there. That's what you will do. Also, you might even consider becoming a partner. Realizing that it doesn't just happen. Somebody is going to have to underwrite it. And it's not going to come from some big congregation somewhere, some mega ministry somewhere. It's going to come from God's people directly. We have to trust the Lord. We don't trust you. We trust the Lord. And He trusts you. So we have to trust that you're trustworthy to whatever God tells you to do. That's how it works. That's why we don't beg here on this program. We don't try to conjure up all kinds of weird fundraising experiences here. No. If God's people are not stirred sufficiently from the heart, then that's just the way it is. We don't want any phoniness, no artificiality. No digitization of the ministry. It has to be real. Didn't plan on saying those things, but there they are. All right. Again, thank you for joining us here. I appreciate those of you who in the last couple of months have heard the need and have decided to even up the gifts that you were giving in the past. We appreciate that. We need to hear from a lot more of you. It's hard to understand how so many can be listening to the program and so few being helping to underwrite it. But we trust God to move in people's hearts. Some people have more ability than others. Some people that have more ability don't take any responsibility. And other people that have less ability give more, kind of like the widow's mite. It's always been that way with human nature. So we trust God. And He trusts you, and we continue on as long as the resources are available and as long as I have breath, or God recalls the call to do this. Thanks for joining us. Become a partner again, friends. Send your gifts by faith to Save America Ministries. Do it today. Go to the website, saveus.org. Give us a call, 1-800-SAVE-USA. You can... write to us at Save America Ministries, P.O. Box 70879, Richmond, Virginia, 23255. Ready to check? Great. Do it by credit card. I believe the Lord will bless you as you give. The Lord loves a cheerful giver. We don't try to make any promises as to how God will bless you. He blesses people differently based upon their need and their heart. God bless and be a blessing.
You've been listening to Viewpoint with Chuck Chrismeyer. Viewpoint is supported by the faithful gifts of our listeners. Let me urge you to become a partner with Chuck as a voice to the church declaring vision for the nation. Join us again next time on Viewpoint as we confront the issues of America's heart and home.